Welcome to Signs from the Other Side with Fern Ronay. I'm Fern Ronay, and this is the place to share stories of signs and messages received from the other side. This year, I am doing IGTV episodes with friends, family, fellow authors, and podcasters, but I am dedicating this podcast, the audio podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio, to 9/11 families. On this 20th anniversary year, I am reserving this space for anyone in the 9/11 community who would like to share their story of signs. Thank you so much for listening. This episode, I am so grateful to Francesca DeVito for sharing her stories of signs from her dad, Port Authority Police Lieutenant Robert Seary. Lieutenant Seary has been coming through to Francesca in so many ways over the years, especially through numbers and in other ways that show his one-of-a-kind personality. Hi, Francesca.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, and I'm so excited to talk to you. So we actually connected because I interviewed your friend Tilly. She is lovely, and her stories were amazing. And then you commented, and then we started chatting, and come to find out that I'm from Belleville, New Jersey, and you're from Netley, New Jersey.
We're neighbors and didn't even know it.
Of all the places in America to grow up. When I read that, Nutley, I got chills. And then, of course, I called my mother and she called my aunt. And my aunt's like, ask her if she remembers Mrs. Rizzo from the office at Lincoln School.
And you know what? After going through yearbooks, I was like, I do remember her. And I called my girlfriends. I was like, is Miss Rizzo this one? And I described what I remembered as a kid. And she's like, yes, that's her. I was like, no, wait till I tell you. And everyone's like, we probably have the whole county talking.
It's such a crazy coincidence. Because I live in LA now and you live in Florida. Like,
yes.
That we would connect and have this connection is amazing. And for people listening, Belleville and Nutley are like, basically, they're connected. Like every, you know, Thanksgiving football game for the past however many years, it's Belleville, Nutley. Like they are sister cities, like no others. Yes.
But we're unified too. It's weird. It's very weird.
It really is. It really is. But I'm just so excited to talk to you and learning about your dad. I mean, his personality, I feel like just having corresponded with you, I feel like it really comes through. And your personality, I watch your stories and you make me laugh so hard. I think you are a riot. And everything I hear about him, he just sounds like he was just, his personality is so funny. Like, for instance, I know he was a cop and he used to drive around town playing the theme song to Cops, and which is so funny. Like, he's just a pisser, and you're a pisser. And I know he's not biologically your father, but you are his daughter.
I get that a lot.
Saying it.
And it's funny because people that run into me, they're like, are you Bobby's daughter? You look like him. I was like, is it the double chin? They're like, oh my gosh, it's the personality too. So,
oh my God. So how old were you when you met him?
My mother and him met, actually my mom was an ER nurse and he was a police officer and a paramedic. And he brought her a drunk into her ER. And from there on, I was 3 years old when I met him. And he raised me and my sister since I was three.
Aww. And September 11th, you were 13.
Yes, I was 13.
So his personality was just so big.
Yes. He was very sarcastic. He had very dark humor. But I feel like as a first responder, when you're in law enforcement and a paramedic, you have to have some type of dark humor to get through that. And yes, that has been passed down.
Do you remember their wedding?
I do. It was in 1999. Their reception was in Belleville at the Chandelier.
Oh, that's where my junior prom was.
Yes, the small world. And my parents pinched pennies to have their wedding because we're a blended family. And it both was their second marriage. And their wedding was beautifully New Jersey. We'll just put it that way, where no dresses matched, but we dyed them all pink. Like, it just, you know, they did what they could with such a big family. But I remember it. We had family come over. My mom's Irish and Scottish, and they came over. And my dad is Italian American. He's first generation, born in America. And he's the only child. And So it was his parents and a bunch of cousins that everyone kind of met that day, as it goes typically in Italian families. So
you recently bought a house and you were holding your arms out in a picture. You didn't even realize you did it. You held your arms out. Like, it was such a joy. Like, you could just see the joy. You could feel it. And then you found a picture of him doing the exact same thing, holding his hands out in such like a fun, almost joyous pose. Yes, I love that.
Because that was one of the signs from him that I was going to talk about with you. Because, you know, when we bought this house, we scraped pennies, just like my mom and him. And we're a blended family, too. It's like history repeating itself. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, you know, Daddy, I miss you so much. And we were going to move back to Jersey. And I was like, but I don't feel like it's home anymore up there. Like, help me find a home that reminds me up north. Because these houses in Florida are all cookie cutter. They're all cement because of hurricanes, you know. You can't have wooden homes. Well, lo and behold, the house that we found is an original 1985 wood frame cottage that survived Hurricane Andrew, Hurricane Irma, like all the worst storms that Florida has had. And it's still standing. And I was like, this is it. This is the home.
And then when you found that picture, like, because you, I know you were thinking, like, send me a sign that this is the one. Like, or you wanted him, like, in the process with you.
Like, I was like, I wish you were here. Because it's funny, me and Johnny were talking. My childhood home in Nutley, my dad forced us all to build a pool. We said, we want a pool. He goes, great, you're going to build it. Like, we never had anything handed to us. He made us work. Mm. And I regret ever asking for a pool. But the funny thing is, this house has a pool. And I said to him, haha, I didn't have to build it. Lo and behold, we have an attached jacuzzi. It doesn't work. So that was his haha. To you still gotta work for that pool. Like, that was like, you know, that was another sign. So it's like, he's everywhere, no matter how much sometimes it's like relentless, just like he was when he was here. He's still relentless in heaven.
He doesn't stop busting your balls. When did you find
not at all.
When did you find that picture of him making the exact same pose you were?
I really found it the day of the photo shoot.
Yes, right? Like, yes. Of all the photos you have of him, like, you came across that one day, and he's like, I'm with you with this house.
And my sister had it on her Instagram, and I was like, no way, hold on.
Funny.
And I, you know, I looked, and I was like, Johnny, come here, look at this. My husband's Johnny, and he's like, this is getting too much. Like, this is, like, getting too much.
Do you remember the first sign you got from him?
I was in my room, and we grew up in a very strict Catholic home, and we went to Holy Family Church in Nutley, like everyone in Belleville and Nutley do. And I said, you know, I was struggling with my faith. I'm a Christian, and I was like, you know, how could you allow something so horrible to happen, God? Like, I'm so angry with you. And I just, you know, I have a lot of guilt because I was a teenager, and teenagers have mouths. I have a 14 years old myself now. And I said, my last words to my dad were, I hate you, because he grounded me because I wasn't doing my schoolwork. And I was failing. I failed the seventh grade, and it was like torture to get me into eighth grade. He flat out said I had to work overtime because I paid your teacher to get you to eighth grade. Like, he always was sarcastic. But I was so angry with him, and he passed away the next day. And I don't really talk about it. I don't know why I'm bringing it up, but I you know.
It's okay. Yeah. You should feel no shame for that, and he knows that you don't hate him.
Yeah.
But you know, I know you know that.
I know now. And, you know, I was sitting in my room, and I was like, just give me a sign that you're okay. Like, I know you're gone. There's no way you survive that. And roses just showed up out of nowhere. This is September. Roses don't bloom in September. And I was just finding roses everywhere, like going to school. There was a rose bush maybe it was there the whole time, but I never noticed, walking down to what was Franklin Middle School. It's just like everything. And then some lady came up to me and goes, I don't mean to scare you, I don't know what your beliefs are, but she said, your father wants you to know that roses is his way to say he loves you. And I got goosebumps. Like, you know, you're a kid, you're like, what are you talking about? Like, you're crazy. But now, like, I see little roses here and there.
Yeah.
And it just brings me peace.
Oh, what's so interesting is that she didn't say that and then you saw the roses. You saw the roses and then she said it. Like, you were, like, you were saying to yourself, like, you know, why am I seeing roses? Like, could this be a sign from him? And then she validated it. Is amazing. So do you have roses in your new house anywhere?
I don't, but I have sunflowers, which is another sign. But that's from my mother-in-law. She passed away, and she was obsessed with sunflowers. I got a broken pool as my sign.
So fitting of his personality. And then over the years, have roses popped up in certain places that you remember?
There was a 9/11 anniversary. I want to say it was 2004. It was Nutley's 2004 memorial. And they had gotten a piece of steel of the World Trade Center donated from Port Authority. Mm. And they put down the three people from Nutley that died. They were all putting flowers down. Everyone had, like, daisies and sunflowers because it's fall. Mm. And I was handed a rose by someone. Didn't see who gave it to me, but it was in the Star Ledger, the picture of me, little girl, 15 years old. I believe it was, like, 15 at that point, putting the rose down on this, on the steel beam. And that was the shot they put in the newspaper. And I was like, where did I get this rose from? And you could see in my face, I was like, where did this rose come from? Who was that? Because I never saw the man again that gave it to me. When I look at the time, it's always either 9/11 or his birthday. And that's, like, how I know it's him. Because it's always numbers. Always numbers with him. I think the most craziest sign was when I had my kids. All of their birthdays or times of birth have to do with September 11th.
Oh, wow.
I do not. So my dad was one of the 37 Port Authority police officers. He was a police lieutenant. And he was found in February of 2002, February 9th. Mm-hmm. Found out I was pregnant with my firstborn, February 9th. And I was a teen mom. And I was like, oh, God, are you going to kill me? And it just was like... You know, it wasn't easy, but I know he sent me my son because he just, it was in a time of my life where I really needed to be grounded. Ironically, he grounded me before he died, but like grounded and put down roots and stopped being a wild child. And I had my son. My water broke on September 11th.
So you found out you were pregnant on 2/9. And your water broke on 9/11.
But my son was born October 7th. 37 follows me everywhere. My middle daughter, December 3rd. 37 is everywhere. My two younger ones, my daughter, Lucy, her, my water broke with her on 9/11 too. And then my son, my youngest baby, his time of birth is what the time of death was for my dad on his death certificate.
Oh, wow.
And it just, I feel like my dad always turns the negative into positives. And it's like, September 11th is not going to be sad for you. It's going to be full of crazy, just like our family always was. But like, funny that you can look back and it's like, everything has to be about you, right? Like, so I look back at that and it's just, he gives me signs with little things, like his birthday, me and Johnny got married on, just so it was a happier day. And I had a dream about it, like, is this okay to do? And he's like, who doesn't love cake? I love cake. And August 31st is 8/31, which means I love you.
Oh.
So, eight letters, three words, one meaning. That's what they say, 8/31.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, wow. And so, always when it comes up his birthday, you know, like it can be a sad day. And he came to you in a dream.
And I was like, is this okay? And then another picture of him, one of his last birthdays with us, was him with a stupid little party hat, like a child's party hat, eating cake. And ironically, we didn't even have wedding cake. We had tiramisu and cannolis. And we went to a pizzeria for our reception.
Oh, I love it.
We didn't even have an all-out party. Like, we were pinching pennies, like him and my mom. And mm-hmm. we went. I went to the Justice of the Peace down here in Florida, and we went to the pizzeria that I had my third date with my husband at. And there's number three always popping up, 3 and 7, always yeah. everywhere.
He made himself known in all 4 kids. So like, so he was in Port Authority Police Department. There were 37 PAPD. So one child's born the 3rd, one child's born on the 7th. He's like, I got them covered. And then the other...
There's birthdays, other times of birth. My little one was the time of death on his certificate. My other one was the time of when they basically called my mom to say he was missing. And it's wow. like, you know, it sounds morbid, but I see it as these yeah. times are never going to be sad again for you. They're yeah. these are happy,
yes,
happy
exactly.
times now, and that's what you have to turn it into.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And like, so he was recovered on 2-9-0-2, but to find out you were pregnant on 2-9, he's like, okay. Don't think of this date as death. Think of this date as new life.
Yep.
It's so, oh, it's perfect. He's good. He's good, Bobby.
Mm-hmm, he is. So I had a family emergency. I had to go up to Orlando to be with a family member who has to have unexpected surgery. And I said the night before my drive, because I live a good 4 hours from Orlando. It's not like a around the corner. It's a trip. Mm. And I sat there and I said, just give me a sign that everything is okay, that you're going to be with him, that you're going to be with us, and that everything's going to go smooth. Well, mm-hmm. after I did the pre-op appointment with my family member, I went to Popeyes. Go figure, mm-hmm. not the classiest establishment, but it was on the road.
Good.
My good ticket number for my order was 911, and the total for my food was 859. 8:59 is the time that Port Authority called the evacuation of World Trade Center.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm getting goosebumps talking yeah. about it right now.
Yeah, it's so amazing. Like, of all of the tickets, like, to line it up so perfectly that you would have to, like, leave the appointment at a certain time, get in the car at a certain time, order at a certain time, for yours to be 9/11, like, it's just, it's perfect. He was, yeah. What a sign. And then, yeah, the 8:59. Wow, it is so numbers with you.
Mm-hmm. I've, always.
Always. Wow.
And when I Amazing. Asked him if Johnny was the one for me, I was like, you got to give me a sign. You got to give me a sign. Because this guy, what is the chances I meet my husband taking our police exams in Jersey? We both end up moving to Florida, applying to the same police department. I was like, oh, God, it's you. Because I met my husband in a not nice way. He didn't have a pencil for the exam. And I said, how are you going to be a cop when you can't even take the exam? Never gave me my pencil back. Both moved to Florida. Both were divorced. We're each other's second marriage. And I was like, it's you. He goes, yay. You're the nasty one with the attitude that gave me a pencil. I was like, look at that. You didn't even become a cop up there. Still never got that pencil. But I said, what is the sign that this man is for me? Like, what is the sign? And my husband's birthday is the day we had my dad's funeral before
Amazing.
We had his body.
Right. Of all of the days, he's telling you his birthday and like, wow.
Yeah,
it is like, always numbers with Bob. Bob's
and
good.
It's always the morbid days, but he turns it into like it's no longer going to be sad. And
yes.
I say it's like he's saying we've cried enough tears.
Mm-hmm.
We've cried enough tears and it's okay to still miss him. But he's like pulling at us like, I never left. Hello. Like,
yeah. Wow. He really made every day that you associate with him, mm-hmm. he made better, like a day to also remember a happy thing. What are you going to tell your kids about him? Well, I know you have a 14-year-old. Does he ask?
So my kids all talk about him, and we talk like he never left. Mm-hmm. And you know, my kids range from Mason's about to be 14, but I just say 14 because it's already almost here.
Yeah.
So 14 to 7 months. So big age gap. But, you know, we all talk about him. And Mason, my oldest, he just talks like he knows him. And he's like, I miss him, but I never met him. And I was like, but that's normal too.
Yeah.
And we just, you know, my middle daughter, she's about to be 9. And she actually had to learn about 9/11 in school this year for the first time. She got up. Now, mind you, we're in the middle of nowhere in Florida. Mm-hmm. So not many people are like 9/11 mm-hmm. connected like up north.
Right.
And she goes, my grandpa died at the World Trade Center. He was a police officer. And everyone's like, oh, she goes, no, but it's okay. Because he died saving a lady and they found him with her. So he didn't die bad. He did good. All the bad that happened that day, he took it away. He made it like a good day because he tried to get her out. And it's like, oh, my heart. Like, you know,
yes.
Like my daughter, my son, they all talk with so much pride as if like they go over his house every weekend. He sent them to me. You know, he's with them.
And the way she said all of that, like she really gets it.
She does. She really does. My youngest daughter, she is 2, and she is on autism spectrum, and she sits there and talks about him. My grandpa in heaven. Now, mind you, we don't speak Italian. My husband does, but we don't speak it in the house. So the kids, we haven't taught it to her. And she was nonverbal for a very long time. She did sign language. And one of her first, like, words were, my nonno. In heaven. And we're like, where did you learn that word? I know he's with us.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And Mason, my oldest, has high functioning autism too. And it's funny because back when Mason was 5, he was still nonverbal. I got on PATH train because we were going to the Beacon Hotel, the Beacon Theater. To see a little Yo Gabba Gabba was the show, like back in the day. And it was a live performance. And this is before I knew he was autistic. They just told me he just has a speech delay. Well, we ended up having to leave the show because it was too much for him. We get on the train. I'm not paying attention to the stops. And I don't go to the World Trade Center. You couldn't pay me. It's too much.
Yeah.
And where does my train stop? The World Trade Center. And I'm freaking out. Mason, who isn't really verbal at that time, goes, it's okay. It's grandpa. Grandpa went to the castle in the sky here. And I tell you, my kids come out with the most random things. And I don't
really
cry, but it's good tears. It just,
yes,
you know, it gives me so much
validation.
Peace. It gives me so much peace. Like he's not physically here. He's still here though.
Absolutely. Wow. It's so interesting that, so he's 5, he's not, you know, you've been around 5-year-olds, you can have conversations with them. So he's not conversing, but for him to come out with that so clearly and so poignantly, wow.
Yeah.
And then your daughter to say, no, like, I know your husband's Italian, but like,
but we don't talk.
Right. And like, you'd call, like, you probably call his parents like grandma and grandpa. So for her to say that, or even if you did call his parents Nono and Nona,
you just say grandma, grandpa, but his parents have passed too. So it's like, you know, my husband's an orphan. So it's like, you know, we just say grandma, grandpa.
Yeah.
And she came out with Nono. And I was like, there's no way.
And it's amazing too. Kids are so open and so receptive to, you know, to things, and then we get older, we have our guard up and we can't receive as much, and wow, he's teaching her Italian.
Yeah.
I love it.
I just hope he doesn't teach her the bad words.
Teach
her the bad words. Don't teach her the bad words. I know you're listening. It's all about you. You're here. Don't teach her the bad words.
You had said that a lot of people after 9/11 had kind of like their electric, is it like lightning or electric, like signs?
So it's something with electric. A lot of 9/11 widows, it's so funny. This is how another thing too. 9/11 widows that were like friends with my mom were saying, my light bulbs keep blowing out. And it's not just like dying. It's like they burst inside, but the actual glass doesn't burst. And it was it still happens to my mom. And she moved to Florida too, but she has those big cathedral ceilings that you can't just change the light bulb.
Right.
So it's like he busts her chops. Like he'll blow the bulb knowing that she's got to go get a handyman. Like, she can't reach it. She's 5'2". She's too small, even with a ladder. So that's she so gets funny. Her light bulbs blown out all the time. And it's funny because my dad did ham radios. And yeah. he wired the antennas in our house through the basement. And, again, I always was horrible at school, but I always paid attention in science and history. And I said, I don't think this is a good idea to run copper through the house underneath our pool. He goes, be quiet. You're failing class. Well, after he passed away, our house got struck by lightning. Not once, not twice, but 4 times. And it was me that reminded the electrician, hey, my dad did some digging down there. And there was exposed copper wire in the ground. My house was always losing power, and it's because of that. But it's even here, too, in my new house, the pool doesn't work, but 2 of my light bulbs are gone already. We just moved
Oh, my God.
It's like, that's give me a so break, crazy. Because they're like those special bulbs, too. It's not like you could just go. They're like the 1980s track lights. That we have, I'm going to have to go to Home Depot. Like, I found a historical item because it's 2021, and they're going to look at me like, lady, just got a new light fixture. My porch light isn't working, and right before I called you, my fuse blew for my porch fan.
Oh, my God, that's so funny. He knew we were going to talk about this. That is crazy that they all experienced that and that he's still busting your chops.
Yes. When I had open heart surgery in 2014, my last one, I had multiple dreams. I always have dreams with my dad, and we're always in a garden. And I had complications during my heart surgery. Surgery was only supposed to be 4 hours. It lasted like around 10 because my lungs collapsed.
Oh,
and they
God.
Did a pulmonary valve transplant. It's because I was born with heart defects, so there's no cure. You're just always going to need surgeries throughout life. But everything I've ever said to my dad at the cemetery or in private, he had a conversation with me about when I swear I died. They just won't tell me, so I guess my family can't sue the hospital because I'm still here. But we have a good chunk of land now in our new house, and Johnny just cut the grass today, and I'm looking at the back part of my lot, and it's legitimately identical to where I've been talking to my dad in my dream. Yeah.
How amazing. How amazing. You were meant to be there. He got you that house.
Yep.
Wow. And it's amazing that he knew that, you know, like we always say, like a dream kind of has an underwater feeling, but when it's a visit, it feels real. And it feels like he's real. And they were visits, and that he was talking to you about the things that you needed to know that he knew, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like those conversations you can only have with your dad. But like, it's not like I could pick up a phone and call him.
Mm-hmm.
It's those kinds of conversations. And it's always when I need them. And I'm a firm believer that they're not dreams. They're visits.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And I think they come to you in your sleep because you're not so, how would you call it, apprehensive to, like, accepting it.
Yes.
So it's just, he's here all the time. When I started dating Johnny, he was not a believer at all. And I had a very weird experience with his mom. And I said, was your middle name, like, your nickname JJ? And he got goosebumps. He's like, what? Are you one of those sixth sense people? You talk to dead people, you freak, like, get out of my car. But, like, there were so many little things that, like, gave him confirmation that now, like, he really believed, like, mommy, like, I'm going to plant more sunflowers for you, things like that.
Aww.
But before we got engaged, he proposed to me on Mother's Day, and he went up to Jersey and went to my dad's grave and asked him for my hand and the address.
Aww.
I'm sorry, I get so emotional all the time.
Yeah.
But I had a dream about it. Like, after the fact, he didn't tell me he did it. And I went to, the bedroom. I was like, hey, did you go to his grave and did you say this, that, and the third? He goes, he told you that was supposed to be between us. Like, he knows. Like, he knows that Bob is always with him. He goes, Bob, I know. She's a lot to handle. I know. Like, he, like, always talks to him, too. Yeah.
He must have freaked when you were like, how did you know?
No, he was freaked out completely. When we moved here, I did a 9/11 event locally, okay? And I had his uniform with me. It was his sergeant uniform. And I carry it like a comfort blanket to the events just because, you know. I had some guy come up to me and goes, excuse me, where'd you get that uniform? I go, my father's closet. Who are you? Like, who are you? And he's like, oh, nice to meet you. My name is so-and-so. Are you Bobby's daughter? And I was like, yes. He goes, your dad was my police academy instructor. I was with them all on 9/11, and your dad did amazing things. He was the most amazing teacher ever, started introducing me to all these people, and half of these people were retired Port Authority cops that knew him. What are the chances that I move nearly like 2,000 plus miles away, and all these people have come to this little area of Florida? Like, this isn't on 95, like, where they all go to Miami and, you know, Broward County. This is, like, a whole other section of Florida. And it's like, what are the chances?
What are the chances? And that that guy particularly was there that day?
Yes.
And that they all knew him, that all these people knew him and knew,
and
then, like,
that was it. That was it for me. And I don't really like correct people when they say I look like him, because ironically, I make face expressions like him. When you're raised by someone, you start picking up their mannerisms and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
And he goes, "You look, you have his face." I go, "I have his chins." That's about it. Because he wasn't the, like, a husky guy. He ran the police academy. He can't be out of shape for that. But he couldn't get rid of his double chins. And it's the same with me.
Oh, that's so funny.
It's the chin.
Oh, I love it. Oh, my God. You are so funny. You're too much. You're just like him. I feel it.
A lot of people say that.
Yeah.
And I take it as a compliment.
Yeah.
I know my personality isn't for everyone, and it's a lot for some people to handle, but what can I do? It's just who I am. I'm not for everybody, and that's okay.
Yeah, nobody is for everybody, and you just have to be you, who you were born to be, and that's it. I love it. Oh, I'm so happy we connected. I'm so happy we are friends on social now, and where can everyone find you on social media?
I have Instagram and Instagram only. If you see me anywhere else, report them. They're frauds. I am on Instagram, and it's Spilt Juice Boxes. Can you tell I'm a mom? But it's spelled S-P-I-L-T.
I will link it here. And you feature a lot of, like, I love your Dollar Tree, like, everything. Dollar Tree is, like, my favorite store.
My big thing is budget. Do everything on a budget. More bang for your buck. I get that from him too.
Yeah.
Like, we were on a tight budget, and he did a lot of DIYs himself and Home Depot, and now I'm basically the female him. I'm there all the time.
Yes. I love it. I love seeing the transformation, and I love seeing, like, what you can do. You're so creative. And everyone should follow you. Is there also anything or anything, like, you would want people to, like, learn more about?
The one charity that I absolutely love that started with 9/11 is Tuesday's Children. Okay. They have done so much for mental health support, for trauma, and now that we're all older and adults, they support military families that have gone through loss, and they actually came down to Florida for the 2018 Stoneman Douglas shooting. They gave free trauma and grief support there, and they're just an amazing, amazing charity to look into.
Yes.
And
I'm going
to
link them.
Give them a look.
I'm going to link them. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I can't thank you enough. Enjoy the rest of the day.
You too.
Thank you so much for listening. To learn more about this podcast, visit the Instagram page at Signs from the Other Side Pod and the Facebook group called Believers in Signs. Just search Believers in Signs on Facebook and be sure to answer the 3 membership questions. Thank you again for listening. Please rate, review, and subscribe in Apple Podcasts and share this episode with anyone who is also interested in these types of stories. I am Fern Ronay, and sweet dreams.